Blog Talk Radio.
Oil.
This is All About Wine, the talk show dedicated to the wine industry since 2009. Featuring winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is just trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
From coast to coast and around the world.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that.
Post your questions and comments during the live show on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. Again, that's www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. And now, All About Wine is on. Here's Ron.
Okay.
And you said Cap was probably going to call in. No, hold on a second. Is that, that's not Cap, is it? I don't know. Yeah, we can check it out and see what it is. Anyway, let me hold on a second. Let me do something real quick.
Go. Okay. Well, we going into the green room and ask if who that might be.
From the Northwest somewhere. Yeah, if I bring you onto the green room, then Facebook and X and everybody on this end is going to hear the whole conversation.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was kind of leading up to that last time. Well, let's, either way, what do you mean I'm disconnected? We're going to have to, we'll just have to do it live real quick. Find out who it is, because it's the Northwest, the Northwest, like Oregon, Washington area.
Okay. Camp lives in Oregon, so that very possibly could be him.
Let's see. I guess we'll take a chance here. All right. If I bring you on the air, you're going to behave because you're live, okay? I don't – whoever it is. Little disclaimer there. Dad, hold on. All right. You're on.
This is actually Cap. And not only is it Cap, but I went out of the way to alert via messenger that I would be calling from this number, Ron. So, Ron – if you were check your messages ever on Facebook.
I do. I check my messages all the time, but I didn't see where you said you'd be calling from this number.
I don't know about
that. I did. And
here we go.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I just 12, don't know about 22 what you
minutes
about
ago,
all the time.
You did.
Yeah. No, wow. I'm mad at my work. And I think in 22 minutes you would have had time to.
You would think
that's
sick.
Fine. That's fine.
But
that's
I was
busy
doing
man.
Other stuff. Before the show, so.
Are we on the air now? I wasn't.
We are. We are.
No, you're on.
Coming up live. You're a guest. Don't we have a guest?
We're supposed to. Kim's supposed to be calling us. Our young Kim. But she's got different.
Hang out and...
Yeah, you can hang out. She's got different ways to call us. She can call us. Through Blog Talk Radio, like you did, or she can call through one of the others. There's a couple others.
There's methods. There's methods.
No,
I don't want everybody look up the skirt. We could just hang out a little bit here, but I didn't want to. I'm on my best behavior because Mike, Ron warned me to be. This is the professional. Cap Capitals of KAPLOWITZ.XYZ. And he said, look, we have like an honest to goodness serious guest here. And Cap, he told me, Ron did, mind your P's and Q's. So I am minding my P's and Q's, and we'll just hang out here waiting to see if the girl shows up.
Here we go. Hold on a second.
The woman, I should say.
Oh, wait a minute.
Are you there?
I'm here. Hi.
Can you all hear us? We just want to make sure it's connected.
Yes, I can hear you. Yes.
Fantastic. All right. Well, welcome to the show. I have to ask first, what name? I've seen two or three of them pop up on the emails. What is your name?
My name is Young Kim. Kim is my family name, and Young is my first name.
Okay, so it's Young. I've been addressing you by your last name. I'm so sorry. That is,
it's okay.
Actually, I addressed you by your winery name too, because it was written in Korean. So I just sent it to that too. So it was.
It's okay.
Good. Well,
many people get confused when they see my name.
Okay. So Young is the name. Okay. Well, welcome to the show. We've had a problem trying to get you on in April, and I was in the hospital when you were scheduled for the show, so we got to reschedule now. I'm glad we did. You were originally recommended to us by Stephen Castles. He says he had worked with you and all that.
Yeah.
And he said that you were very knowledgeable, and he says, I really should get a hold of you and see if you couldn't get on the show. And I'm glad you're taking the time to do it. We have Mike also here, and that you first talked to, and we also have Cap Kaplowitz, who is a pseudo wine person, and he decided to join the show with us tonight, and so he may have some questions or comments to you also. So
and for those listening, that's this voice.
That's that voice. Yeah.
Situated. I honestly, I'm not sure why I'm here. Good.
Because you wanted to call in. That's why.
Well, that's right.
Young. I got so many questions for you. Start out telling me about you. How did you get involved with wine? How long have you been in it? What do you, just tell us about you.
Okay. I'm now a winemaker. Actually, I'm not making wine, but I'm working as one of the winemakers here and in South Korea. And I've been doing this for 15 years. And I live in Chungbuk, Yeongdong in South Korea, which is the place is famous for vineyard and making wine in South Korea. There are more than like 40 wineries.
Wow.
In this region. And I have studied wine in France first, 20 years ago. And then I learned a lot from there, how to make wine and promote market wine from the agricultural industry. And I was really inspired by that. So I used to live in Seoul, but I moved to this Chungbuk province for making and doing the wine business in South Korea. And I hope that one day, someday, Korean wine can be popular in some of the global regions.
Yes. I mean, the problem is with foreign countries is that most of the time the wine is sold within those countries, and it's hard to export it to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got, just so much you can make, and usually it's drank within your country. And it happens to countries all over the world, actually. It's not just you. And it happens to states here in the United States. So many wines in so many states make wine, and you can't find it outside of that state because it's all consumed basically within that state. So, where are you in Korea? You're in the southern part of we're speaking South Korea. You're in the southern part of South Korea, middle. Mm-hmm. Where are you?
Yeah, in South Korea, we're in the center of the South Korea, and it's right in the middle.
Uh huh.
And it's surrounded by the mountainous regions. And Chungbuk is in the middle of South Korea. Yeah.
Is You said there was about 40 wineries around there. Is there any other regions in the country that have wine and grapes, or is it basically located right there?
Right. There are some other regions other than this area, Chungbo, Yeongdong. There are, I don't know if you're familiar with the word, but Gyeongbuk area, like Yeongcheon, we call it Yeongcheon, and Gyeonggi, Yeongcheon. Well, Yeongcheon is another very big wine-producing area here.
Oh,
and
okay.
It takes a lot. Couple of hours from here, but they're also in the middle of the South Korea.
Oh.
And yeah. Mhm. Yep.
Okay, so now grapes.
The winemakers are mostly like farmer based, and those are all like more than 80% of the winemakers are farmers, and they try to grow vines and also manage vineyard, but it's not like single vineyard system. They are out of farmer system, but they also, you know, buy grapes and make wine based on the other farmers' grapes. So the reason why I wrote the book with the Stephen Castles about the wine grapes of Korea, we found that the grapes are really important in South Korea, especially for farmers, farmer winemakers. And North American native grapes varieties were like so many people are using those, the North American native grapes here. And we were quite surprised by that because they are quite successful in South Korea.
Yes. Do you grow vinifera grapes at all? Or are they all basically just different Native American?
Vitis vinifera is not very adapted to South Korean soil, and we need a lot of research for that. But well, still far from that. But North American native grape varieties are mostly used in South Korean winemakers and farmers.
Wow, that's interesting. That surprised me. Mm-hmm. I have talked about South Korean wines on the show a number of years ago, many years ago. And what I found at that time was a lot of the wines were made with different flowers. The grapes weren't really that predominant. Is there still flower wines being made there?
Not sure. I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
But like in South Korea, there are many wines made from non-grapes, for example, like plums, apple, and things like that. But
a lot of fruit wines, okay.
You know, but, yeah. Mm-hmm,
I have a little bit of a question, if I can interrupt.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I did already.
Yeah.
But Ron said I'm somewhat of like a novice wine person, but where I tend to excel or at least know a little bit more than what I know about wine is in tobacco, in cigars and premium cigars. And I know in dealing with the growing regions of tobacco, you could take the same seed and plant it in different areas, you would say terroir, I would say growing regions, and you would get sometimes quite a different product and result. And I was wondering, personally enough, forgive me if this is a wrong question, because again, I'm approaching it from tobacco, but you mentioned using American grapes or seeds or however. Basically, I'm wondering what the difference is. So I know Concord grape. That's just what I know is used heavily here. I'm Jewish. It's kind of like our ceremonial Manischewitz, grape for wine purposes. So if I were to take that instead of putting a vine upstate New York somewhere, how would it differ? How does it differ to growing it where you are in Korea? Or does it?
Well, for example, like there is a Camberley, which is American grape. And a lot of Korean winemakers and farmers are have been farming Camberley. And when we taste the wine from North America and South Korea, the Camberley wines, and they are very similar but a bit different from aromas. So here on the soil in South Korea, well, not sure, it might depend on person's taste, but mostly the wines can have aromas of more herbs, and some other people say they're like pine nuts or ginseng aromas or soy, like soy thing, like soy aromas. Well, it depends on people's taste, but well, the aromas are totally different from the growing region, so-called terroir. But the way the grapevines grow and the way we farm, I think they are mostly same.
But you
would it have something to do with what is grown nearby? Because I'm going to guess that whatever is grown in, again, here in America, next to or alongside a nearby vineyard is might be different than what is grown near out your neck of the woods in Korea. And mm-hmm. Does some, like, for instance, sometimes tobacco is grown by coffee, and it takes on mm-hmm. certain, people tend to think it takes on certain characteristics of what is grown near. I've heard from different people. Do you have any of that happening there? Does that have any kind of effect?
Yeah, exactly. We have especially in my area, well, in my vineyard, we have a lot of pine trees here. Well, Korean soil, they have a lot of pine trees around everywhere. But anyway, in my vineyard, there are like many pine trees. And when we taste our wine made of Camberley or some other grapes, we can still smell the pine nuts and trees aromas and herb aromas. And when we go to like some of the Yongchun areas, as I told you before, they have a lot of ginseng fields. And when we taste the wine, that we can also smell some like ginseng and very Asian herb style of aromas. So
wow.
I think that really happens in everywhere. Yeah.
That's interesting. That is very interesting.
Thank you.
Nice question, Cap. Well, you said you have problems growing vinifera there. Why would that differ so much from Native American grapes, the Bruscas and all those?
You mean the difference, or lost some part.
Well, why wouldn't vinifera grow there? Why is that different? What you mentioned, the soil. Native American grapes are more adaptable to your soil. Is what's happening?
We found that the climate, and not sure about soil because I haven't actually had all those research, the material for soil of the two countries. But based on the climate data and the temperature and rainfall and the patterns of the patterns of rainfall and precipitation data, and based on those, we found that the climate is very similar, and very hot winter and very hot summer, and comparatively high humidity in both regions. But of course, we have monsoon season in summer, but it's getting shorter here. So yeah, so it's very, very similar to, I mean, Korean climate is quite similar to North America, especially New York area climate.
Yeah.
So Steve visited here, he told me that he was quite surprised by the climate and they are very, the weather, because he thought that they're very similar.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the reasons why North American native grape varieties, especially like Concord and Camberley, some other like white grape, Cybele, and they are very strong and hardy here. So they can very easily be adapted in the soil. But vinifera, as like many researchers tried to grow vinifera species, but they failed as the climate is so different from some other cooler European regions, and very it should be very dry. But the one of the problems that there are not many clones here that were researched by scientists. Well, we have a very long way to go study more about vinifera. But Labrusca and North American native grape varieties, they are very, very well growing here. So
wow.
Even though we have like a very short research period, we could be successfully grow the vine grapes here. When we just, plow the seed, and then they can just naturally grow out of all these hardy conditions. So it's
wow.
Very surprising. Amazing.
That is. It's amazing that they would do that. How many different varieties of North American grapes are grown? I mean, obviously there is some experimentation, but I mean, to make wines, how many different ones are grown there?
Hundreds of different North American grape varieties are here. The most popular varieties, the number of the most popular varieties are maybe like 20 or 30, 20 or 30. They're very popular. And, well, it's mostly hybrid. And the researchers here, like wine researchers or grape researchers, they try to, mix or blend those together to make the other grape varieties. But the parent species are mostly North American native grape varieties. But current researchers name those hybrids the different, like Korean name. So the name is their parents are old North American grape varieties, you know?
So I guess I have a question again. I'm sorry, but I also don't want to apologize every time I have a question. Ron, is it okay if I just shoot my questions out there?
Jump in anytime.
I appreciate it. So we've been talking about you bringing over American grapes varietals or what have you to Korea. Does Korea have its own indigenous varietals, or is that why you're looking elsewhere?
Good question.
Oh, yes. We have indigenous grape varieties here, which is called Tamaru. That's also very similar to Yamabudo in Japan and Cabernet Sauvignon in Europe. Well, but Tamaru is not well being researched. That's because they are categorized as nut grape. They're categorized as some mountain produce. So it's so weird here. But one research for is South Korea. So yeah, there should be some more research on those grapes, the Tamaru. We also make wine from Tamaru, and Steve also tasted Tamaru, and he said that, yeah, it was really nice. But they are not as well-growing as native North American grapes here. The North American native grape varieties are the most well-growing varietals here.
Wow.
So Korean indigenous varieties are weaker than those.
You're using North American grapes there in Korea because of the similar climate, meaning that your climate is similar to here. But I was wondering if that means, and you kind of started answering that, does that mean in any way that your indigenous Korean varietals, profile-wise, are rather similar to the ones you bring from here to there? In other words, does the climate, regardless of where it is, if it's similar, yield similar grapes?
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
I can say that the climate is similar, and the way the grapevines grow on the soil is similar depending on the humidity and all these weather patterns. But I don't know, the North American native grapes are very hardy. They're hardy. They can So I was like, yeah, say all these really low temperature winters, all this frozen the disease, or like frozen, how can I say, frozen problems, frozen issues. They never get frozen too seriously. You know, it's very, very cold in South Korea in winter, especially the midwinter. Yeah. So we need to cover up all these the vine grapes to prevent from the freezing. But we just grow all these North American native grape varieties, I mean the hybrids, on the open field. But we don't give them any clothes for winter. We don't give them any heat, like heating system. But they are all alive, like
wow.
overcoming all the really, really low temperatures. So it's really like surprising, hardier than Korean indigenous grapes. So
that's amazing.
So that's why I think North American grape varieties are very popular in Korean farmers. They don't, you know, think about changing all these varieties into South Korean and Korean indigenous varieties, because North American varieties are economical and they're really well growing, give us a lot of produce. So it's a miracle.
How long is your summer growing season?
Summer growing season. The summer starts here in South Korea mostly from mid-May to June and to August or the early September.
Wow. So when do you get bud break?
Mostly in the end of April or until the mid of May.
Okay. And then you harvest in September?
September. Or when we want to delay then October, early October or September. Yes.
Okay. And then this, you keep saying it gets very hot and very cold. We're not used to centigrade, so we're not going to be able to convert it in our heads. So, but how hot does it get in the summer there?
Summer, I don't know in Fahrenheit, but in Celsius, it reaches during the summer, very hot summer, goes up to 40 Celsius degrees or 39, 40 Celsius degrees.
Okay,
degrees
Mike,
Celsius,
there's a job for you to convert that for us. And in the winter, how cold does it get in the winter?
Like 100 degrees Fahrenheit. That's for summer, 104 degrees Fahrenheit in summer.
And in the winter, how cold does it get?
Really, really hot. Yeah.
Yeah.
And in winter, the temperature goes down to 14 degrees Fahrenheit.
Okay, yeah, that's
57 degrees Fahrenheit. You said 14 Celsius?
No, 14 Fahrenheit.
Oh, Fahrenheit, wow.
Yeah, she was. Thank you for doing the math for us. I believe we all went to American public schools.
Now we know the computer.
Very good for the conversion. Yeah. So, how long have you all been using American grapes? I mean, it sounds like American grapes were transported over to Korea quite a few years ago. Is that correct?
Yeah, as far as I know, the Camberley is called as Korean grape. Korean people kind of misunderstand. How can I say? They know that the Camberley is Korean grape. So it has very, very long history. I think maybe from like 1900.
Uh-huh.
From 1800, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, ever since the market is open to the global, I think the Camberley came into South Korea, and then many people try to get those native Korean, Native American grapes, like with many ways, in many ways.
Yeah,
I think it's not sure like exactly the number, but I can try to find.
I'm still amazed at the number of grapes that you said. You know, you're speaking of just hundreds of just about every type of Native American grape we have. But you're doing a bunch of clones, though, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're just using American grapes and cloning the American grapes, or are they using any Native Korean grapes and using that to mix in with clones?
What those the great researchers are doing here for developing wine grapes, they are mixing those Native American grapes, like two parents, all Native American, and then when their child is born, then the name, the Korean name is given. That's how most of the vine grapes are born here in South Korea. They are not using Korean native or indigenous grapes for researching. I'm not sure why. I don't know why they're not using Korean native grapes. But as I told you before, the Native American grapes are very hardy and they're very efficient and economical. Farmers really prefer, you know, those North American grape varieties. So for now, all these newborn grape varieties or popular grape varieties are born out of two Native American parents of grapes.
And these are the ones that they're making the wines from now, just those, the first generation Korean hybrids.
I just mm-hmm. am fully enchanted by the idea of two vines getting together and hitting it off really well and getting, you know, further in their relationship and eventually having a child. I like the vibe of that. So is there anyone that is doing the opposite of what you're doing? Is there anyone that is taking indigenous Korean varietals or what have you and trying to plant them in similar climates, such as here in North America? Is there like a bizarro world version of you?
I don't think there's no one doing it. No.
Well, you call them nut grapes anyway. Are they real small and not real good on for wine grapes?
Well, the Korean indigenous grape variety called Tamuru, they're quite relatively suitable for making wine other than the other grapes. But, well, unfortunately, we have lost many indigenous varieties, well, under the colonization of Japan. So the Tamaru is the only one that we can find as indigenous grape varieties for making alcohol beverage. And in Japan, they have Koshu and Yamabudo. And Yamabudo and Tamaru, they have exactly similar DNA. So, well, Japan is doing a really nice job for developing all these indigenous grapes. But Korea, where we know that we should. But I don't know why those researchers are not into this research work for developing indigenous grapes.
Well, they got the North American grapes that they're using that they're coming up with good results. So, you know, it would make sense not to use the native Korean grapes.
Right.
Your book, Wine Grapes of, and I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce the name.
Chungcheongbuk-do, Korea.
Chungcheongbuk-do. Well, I said that wrong. The
I'd like to
book
apologize
is...
for Ron at this time.
I've got it here in front of me, and I can't pronounce
it. From Missouri. He also can't say certain words like a Maduro cigar or refer to his humidor. So it's not in his own language, is what I'm saying. So we can't possibly expect him to be good at other languages.
Good at Korean,
I apologize for Ron.
So we
touch on a lot of stuff, and I would imagine if people are interested, they'll pick up the book to read the particulars. Ron is the host, so he'll let people know how they could get a hold of you, your book, and where and when and all that. But while we have you here, I wanted to focus on you personally and start with a question I hate to get. I'm the cigar guy. I go on shows sometimes, and people are like, "Cap, why cigars? Why do you like cigars?" And I roll my eyes and I groan because it's a stupid question. But now I'm going to ask you, what made you interested in wine?
Oh, yeah, that's a very essential question. Well, when I first visited France like 20 years ago for studying wine and learning wine there, I was really impressed by the agricultural industry. It's very, very developed. But compared to South Korea, well, I was only in South Korea for most of the time. I also went to Seattle when I was a high school student. But I was young, so I couldn't see how agriculture industry in Seattle or the western part of the United States were going on. But well, in France especially, it was really inspiring. And I came back to Korea, and my parents at the time were making wine as their just hobby, in the rural area here in Chungcheongbuk-do, like Yeongdong region. And I visited my parents after coming back from France, and I saw that they were making wine and all these industry things and issues. And I thought it's quite challenging and attractive to work in the agricultural field, especially for making all these value-added products from grape. And I also used to love wine. I still love wine. So I think this is very the one that I should challenge for the rest of my life. And, I can taste wine, and I can work for all these grape wine.
Your parents were making grape wine? Oh, sorry, I'm getting feedback. Your parents were just as hobbyists making wine from grapes? Is that right?
When we first started, they just grew wines, like made wine, but very small amount of wine. And they used to grow vine trees and some other fruits, but for eating, not selling them, just for their hobbies.
Did they make fruit wines, or were they making grape wines?
Only grape wine. We only make grape wine. We're not making fruit wines for now.
But I'm interested in, and forgive me if I'm ignorant with this whole thing, but my understanding why I asked if your parents were making wine from grapes, is that atypical? Because my limited understanding is grape isn't what most people in Korea gravitate towards when they think wines. They think other fruits, and I could be wrong. Mm-hmm. But is that the case? And if it is, what made them pick grapes? And if it isn't, I apologize. But I feel like they were kind of going against the flow, maybe.
Well, I learned, and my dad also learned how to make wine at the time. He was really interested in making wine as well, just like me. And we were just only focused on grapes. That we thought that's the way we should go. But making wine with other fruits, well, it gives you some really unique and unfamiliar aromas when we make wine and wine from non-grape, non-grape fruit, especially like plums and Korean native kiwi, which is called tare in South Korea. But when we make wine with those the fruits, I can smell some weird and very, not very well balanced, you know. So many Korean farmers are making wine with sweet wine. But we're into dry red and dry white, just as the really original and traditional wine with the traditional wine.
I guess when I say wine here in, I'm in the Willamette Valley in Oregon. When I say wine here, nobody thinks anything but grapes. If you were to just say wine in Korea, would they automatically think grapes, or would they think plum or some other fruit? What is the typical person's view on wine in those regards?
That's very good question, because there are two groups of people who are drinking wine. So the first group, the most people are in this group. They think the wine is related to grape, but the wine beginners or the younger people who are just first try to taste wine, and they are not very knowledgeable. They don't have any knowledge about what the wines are. So when they first try to taste like wine and Korean wine, they are, not very discernible about wine. I should say they think that fruit wine can be wine, grape wine can be wine. So these latter group, they're considered mostly younger people.
A lot of what you must be looking at is educating people as to what you're doing, hence the book, I would imagine.
Right. But the thing is that, there are not many wine sommeliers in South Korea, but most wine sommeliers, they are working for, hotel and some other very high service areas. Korean wine, sommeliers, they are very limited number. They consist of very limited number of people. So education should be done with those people.
Yeah.
It's quite small, but we hope that we can grow bigger. Yep.
Takes time. Your book, do you list all the grapes that you use, or do you concentrate on the ones you're making wine? Or you said you had hundreds. Your wine grapes book, does it? What is the format of your book?
The book includes all the varieties used in South Korea, most of them. Yeah, most of them. Maybe 99%. And the book has the grape varieties in the book, they are mostly parent species. Well, some of the grape species are used as they are, but more than 70%, they are mostly parental species varieties for newly born varietal in South Korea by South Korean researchers.
No.
Yeah, and what was the latter question? I think I lost.
Yeah, that was the question. Are you listing all your grapes and everything in there? Do you list the parents and the child of those grapes that you're using for wines?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You do. Okay.
So basically what you're saying is, if somebody is interested in learning everything they possibly would want to know about what you're doing, it's in the book, which leads me to, don't want to step on Mr. Host Ron, his toes, but I feel like we should give you some time to talk about your book in terms of where it can be found and how it can be purchased and received.
In North America.
Going there.
I usually do at the end.
But
so
when we first started this book with Stephen, we're supported, financially supported by, there is like Korean Research Wine Center. They supported us financially to publish the book.
Oh, and it
should be a nonprofit at the time. So we published this book, but not making profit out of this. But Stephen and I are still discussing how to make this wine and make this book online purchasable. Mm-hmm. So we're planning to make an ebook out of this, the original one version, so that we can publish the book online, so that more people can read it.
Oh, very good.
And
is it
we're not
available in
English? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is it available in English, or did you write it in Korean?
Yeah, it's like bilingual version. The first part is Korean, and the latter part is English. But they have all same contents. And I and Stephen, try to put those two languages all together in one book. But I'm not sure if we can divide those language version into two when we publish the book on online, like Amazon or some other ebook portal services. Yeah.
Okay. Is it available on Amazon? I mean, is it a hard copy?
It's going to be available maybe within this year, by the end of this year. We should make it, the book is available online. Yeah, by the end of this year.
Okay, very
hope
good.
We hope that. Yes.
And who are you listed as the author, or is Stephen, or who's listed as the author on this?
Yes, I and Stephen, we are the authors.
Okay.
Yeah, we are the authors.
Okay, so, you know, because a lot of times, you know, try to get a book, they always ask for the author. So both you and Stephen, that's is that Young Kim and J. Stephen
mm-hmm.
Castles? Okay. So if anyone
mm-hmm.
is looking for this book, let me spell it. Young, Y-O-U-N-G, Kim, K-I-M, and J,
yes.
J, just J period. Stephen, S-T-E-P-H-E-N, Castles, and that's spelled C-A-S-S-C-L-E-S. So those are the co-authors mm-hmm. of the wine grapes of the Korean name. That's the area that you make the grapes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. Yes, the area is the best area in South Korea. Most of the winemakers are concentrated in this area. Mm-hmm.
So you say you have about 20 grapes that most of the wine is being made from the hybrids?
The most popular ones, yes.
Okay, and those are dry reds and dry whites are basically what you're making then?
We are making dry whites. But many wine producers are making sweet whites and sweet reds out of these Native American species.
Oh, really?
How can people get the wine? How does that work?
They can buy wine online, as the online sales are available in South Korea for the wine made of made in the Korean soil. I mean, using the grapes grown in Korean soil. And so the people can buy online. They can promote and market online. And there are a lot of bottle shops here. So when people want to visit bottle shop to buy Korean wine, That's just like called, that's called, the shops are called the traditional liquor shop, traditional wine shop. Like in Korean, that's 전통주 shop or something like that. And anyway, people can buy wine offline and online as they want. So it's very like easily available for Korean customers.
Okay.
Have you, do you have a distributor to the United States yet? Korean wines. I asked you as a country,
not yet. Stephen asked us if there are some other wine growers or winemakers who want to export to North American market, but I heard that North American the people who want to import Korean liquor and wine, what they prefer is mostly soju, like distilled liquor,
mm-hmm.
or like rice wine, wine yet.
Not yet.
Well, they, you know, mm-hmm. it will happen. I believe it will definitely happen.
That'd be great.
You said you're a winemaker, is our assistant winemaker or co-winemaker. Do you do anything in the vineyard, or do you concentrate just basically staying in the cellar, so to speak?
Mm-hmm. Well, what I mostly do is assist all the winemaking work, from wine growing, the vine growing, and then I taste and market and promote. So mostly I'm a marketeer, and I assist all this winemaker work in cellar. But as you know, cellar work requires a lot of physical ability. So males, I think, well, in my point of view, males are better than doing it. You know, all this, like moving all this heavy work, heavy things.
I don't think you're allowed to say that. Are you allowed to say that?
Yeah, she can say that.
Okay. Well, that's cool.
Well, okay. But in Korea.
Yeah, in Korea. You can say that.
Yeah, not in America. Okay.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, I didn't say that. Mm-hmm. I'm okay. I don't want to get in trouble.
Yeah.
Or the show.
What are your hopes for 5 years from now? Where do you hope to see the industry growing toward and becoming?
We role model, of course, North America and Australia, New Zealand. Well, you are really successful in winemaking and wine tourism, all these wine-related industry. So maybe within 5 years, we hope to make more wine with better quality to win the bigger awards from like world competitions. And also, we hope that more people can visit us to taste our wine, like a tourism spot. For like very attractive tourism spot for tasting wine to visit, worth to visit.
Speaking of tourism, how is wine a tourist destination in Korea, or is it just picking up, or what's happening with that?
It's not very systematically well developed yet, but. The wine tourism is like it's just like at a beginning stage. So some people are corner stores or who really want to taste wine and wine lovers, they are traveling around the Korean wineries, and through the online promoting like Instagram or Facebook and some other the SNS channels. They share all this information that the winery is worth to visit. So more people are coming here compared to like last year or the year before last year. This year we have more visitors and more people are getting interest in Korean wine and winemaking. And I think it's really positive. So
How far are you going
but
to
we
Seoul?
At the station. Yeah, train. People get trained, take train to come here. It's like from Seoul, it takes like 2.5 hours to come here.
So, compared to North America,
it's very short, but, you know, Korean people think it's very far.
I have a question, and it's hypothetical because it involves me traveling, which can only be hypothetical because I don't like leaving my house ever. But if I wanted to go to your vineyard, to your winery, what would that experience be like? What kind of tours do you give, or do you?
When the visitors come here, we have a vineyard tour so that we show all the vineyard and how we're doing and the systems and the facilities that we have on the vineyard, like weather station, and they can see the grapes and the soil by themselves. And then we have tasting sessions that the visitors can taste all the wine that
how many
we make.
Do you have? How many?
Room.
How
we
many
have
wines?
Eight wines, yes.
Oh, okay. Eight, sorry. I wonder.
Eight. And then, of course, they can go into the cellar to taste all these newly made wine and still in the tank. And people are very interested in tasting all this wine from fresh from just like how can I say, like tap. Like open the tap and they get the wine from the tap of the tank, and that's the one of the very popular, most popular the activities that people prefer doing here, and they can taste wine sitting down enjoying the. We have live music concert for visitors, so that's also one of the experiences that people can have. And they can go around the wine trail. We have like 3 acres. I think it's acres, 3 acres of vineyard. Well, so they can walk around the vineyard to enjoy all the nature and while drinking wine in the vineyard. So these are the experiences that visitors can have here.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, if I ever do go out there, I'm going to stay outside drinking wine in a vineyard because I have a feeling if I go into the cellar, you're going to make me lift heavy things continuously. that's what I'm getting. I'll stay in the vineyard because I'm also old and weak. It correlates an awful lot, and I'm always amazed to cigars because cigar factories and growers, farmers give tours, and it's a very similar thing right down to people want to smoke a quote-unquote fresh cigar, what you would call right out of the tap wine, and it's very interesting, and that's kind of what brings me there or here, so... That sounds nice. If I ever go out there, I'm just not going to the cellar though. We'll send Mike down to the cellar. Mike sounds robust.
Okay.
How big is your winery compared to the others in the area? About the same, smaller, bigger?
The size of the winery.
Mm-hmm.
Well, other wineries here in this region, they are mostly buying grapes from other farmers. So they don't have the big vineyard. Instead, they have the winery, the building itself, and then a small plot of the vineyard for the visitors' experience. The grapes, for showing grapes.
Do you source out your grapes to other winemakers in the area, in the region? Is that something else you do personally?
Right.
You do?
The local winemakers? Yeah, they are. There is like Chateau Miso, and they're very passionate winemakers. The winemaker, the chief winemaker there, he's very enthusiastic about making very different types of wines, and he's always researching all these the winemaking from the fruits, like non-grape varieties. But he's one of the pioneers who developed the non-grape variety wine in South Korea. So it's going to be quite interesting experience when visitors come to the winery to taste the wine, because they have very unique flavors and aromas with the fruits. But
yeah,
when wine lovers, like wine connoisseurs, visit here, well, that's not going to be the place that they want to visit. Maybe they want to visit your winery, yours. That's one of the winemakers who are making dry grape wine, and Tamat Winery, as I where I work for, and there is another winery called Country Winery, and they are also making dry red and dry sweet. Sweet red wine from only grapes. They have really good facilities, renovated recently, and they are also making these all natural, naturally sterilized wine with the low temperature, like pasteurization. They have all these pasteurization facilities. Yes. So those are the wineries you want to.
Are they using Native American grapes?
Yeah.
They all are.
That's what we've been talking about the entire time.
Yeah, but you know, she's talking about fruit grapes and stuff like that, and so
let me ask you a question, and this will be my last question because I need to get going. We have to go shopping. I've just been notified, but I like smoking cigars in certain situations, and I've spoke about this before on this show and elsewhere, but recently I took up feeding wild birds, and I love smoking a cigar on a park bench while I'm feeding birds. It feels nice. Why I'm saying that actually has a point, and it might have to do with you. When you sit down at the end of the day and pour yourself a glass of wine, what are you doing? Do you have a certain place you like to be? Do you have a certain thing you like to be doing alongside drinking the wine? Are you pairing it with food or something else? What do you do in your you time when you're just enjoying a glass of wine
down
at the end of the day? Right.
Okay. I love cigar as well. I've tasted really good organic cigar recently, and well, I love to enjoy wine with cigar or some other really nice pairing food. So well, for the wine time for me, I usually stay in the winery, and then not inside the winery, outside the winery we have the large area of the on the deck. So on the deck, I'm looking at the scenery. We're in the valley, so you can see the mountainous valley scene, enjoying wine and, you know, inhaling all this clean air and pine aromas, enjoying all this relaxing time with wine and nice food, or just wine itself. Or
sounds
a cigar.
Like a great, sounds like a great way to wind down. Yeah.
Sounds like we should all hang out.
Yeah.
But I don't travel. Maybe we'll FaceTime. But because I'm just more interested. I know Ron knows infinitely more than I do about grapes and wines, and I'm just here for the people. And you seem like you have a big passion for it, and it's good to hear people that are passionate about things, but also people that know when to just have some alone time with what they're passionate about. It's good not to lose sight of that. So I'd like to know personally, not that it's any of my business, that you do have time to sit down, relax, and take yourself away from the business part of it and enjoy what actually got you to where you are, which is the glass of wine and a cigar. And if you come back on the show, Ron, having me on the show again, we'll talk cigars. Because then I'll be more comfortable.
Oh, that's good. So, this is going to be great. So thank you. Please invite.
Where can people find you on social media and all that?
Is it
social media? My name is like my ID. What can I say? My nickname is Wine Quinn. So Wine Quinn Korea. And I'm on Instagram, and I'm on YouTube, I'm on, where else, Facebook, and I'm communicating with people who are wine lovers and who are interested in wine and Korean wine. I'm on this SNS channel. You can see me there.
All right. Wine Queen Korea?
Right, Wine Queen Korea.
Okay.
That sounds like where you would want to follow along to find out what happens next with the book and what you're doing and all that. I'm sure you'll update people as to what's happening with the book and everything else. And I'm going to give you a follow, too.
Yeah.
So if you see a crusty guy with a cigar following you, that's me. Don't block me, unless you want to.
Okay. I will follow back.
All right, Kim, thank you so much for being on the show tonight.
Mm-hmm.
It was fantastic. We learned a lot about the Korean wine scene. I never realized that it was, like I say, the last time I did anything on Korean wines, it was with flower wines and stuff like that. And they really came forward in a short period of time here. So, and Cap, thank you for joining us tonight also.
Thank you. You're welcome, and thank you for having me on. And since you asked, Ron, I'll let people know, thank you for asking, that you could follow me at simply go to my website, my blog. It's www.kaplowitz.xyz. That's Kaplowitz Media, where I write about cigars. Thank you for asking, Ron. And thank you.
I was going to, but you, as always, jumped right in there and said something before I had a chance to finish.
I've behaved quite well, Ron, and I feel like we could both agree to that.
Yes, you did. So, but thank you, Kat, for joining us tonight and your questions. Kim, thank you again. I'm glad we got you on the show. I keep saying Kim because that's what I used to. Yong, that is your first name. I shouldn't call you by your last name.
Don't worry.
And thank you for joining us on the show. And we'll look forward to the book being available either online or in print. And I know I'm going to pick up a copy of it. Mm-hmm. It's interesting to see what's happening with Native American grapes in Korea. That is just fascinating. So thank you. Thanks for joining us tonight. And, I say tonight here. What time is it there?
It's morning, 9 in the morning. Thank you for inviting me, and hope that I can invite you to visit South Korea someday when we're.
I would love to. I would love to. I travel. I don't stay at home.
With all these American native dishes. Yes.
Right. Yeah. Mike, do you have any comments or anything you'd like to pass? Matt, pass on your own.
Pleasure
to meet you. Thank you for coming and playing with us.
And thank you for being on the show, and have yourself a wonderful day.
Okay, you too. Have a wonderful day. Bye.
All right, thank you.
Bye
now.
Thank
you. So what have you guys been up to? Anything cool? Are we still on?
Yeah, we're still on there. Is she gone?
Oh, Captain's here. Yes.
Okay. I can't tell from this end. Yeah.
Yeah, she's disconnected.
Well, that was a good show. I liked her. She seems very nice.
Yeah.
I liked her a lot. She's passionate, interesting. Yeah, I like her a lot. Definitely going to follow her, and I hope everybody else that's listening does too. And I'm not going to go to Korea. I don't even want to go to Trader Joe's. That's like 2 miles down the block right now. But I'm being notified again that I have to.
You have to.
But I really, Mike, Ron, I wanted to say that I really appreciate you having me on. I know sometimes I could be kind of rambunctious in the past, but I feel
but
like
you,
I presented
nice.
The All About Wine team very well.
Yes, you did.
And,
you played nice today.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for the opportunity. www.kaplowitz.xyz. You can find links to all my social media stuff that I ignore right there on the right side of your screen when it loads. But, guys, I appreciate it. Is there any questions you have for me? Because now I'm the guest.
No, you're not. You ask questions of our guest tonight.
I got KAP something. Could you repeat the website that you're at one more time, please?
Sure, I can. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. That's Kaplowitz Media. I am Cap Kaplowitz, and you could find my cigar writings and reviews and meanderings and thoughts, musings, www.kaplowitz.xyz, and find all of this on flightlineradio.com, right? Am I right?
Yeah, this show will be repeated.
Yeah. That reminds me. I've got to ask you something, Cap. Your podcast, First and 15th, which is very popular, by the way, First and 15th, which you
and
can
hear
on iTunes and everything. But so are you – is 100 episodes it? Or are we talking, you know, Ron kind of, you know, and I talked about it last week because I said, you know, they just finished their 81st episode. That was the last, I think that was the last one. Or are you at 82? I forgot.
Sounds about right. I don't pay attention. I'm not a numbers guy, you know.
Well,
but it sounds,
we'll talk about it during the show because I picked it up off the show. But you said, yeah, I think at 100, you know, during your podcast, you said like 100 was going to be the limit. And I thought, wait a minute, no. You know, are you looking at continuing? Is there any kind of, where's my exclusive music here? Just a second. Let me see if I can find it.
Okay. I'll hold. Is there anything? Would I hear it? Let me know after it plays.
You'll hear
applause,
it.
Rip,
I'll hear it.
Drum set, cork. No, I just played the cork. IDs. Where's the ID? No, not the IDs. That's the best I can do. I can't find
it. You need like a typewriter, kind of like a press room, kind of like a.
Oh, hang on. Oh, wait. I got the perfect thing. Hold on. Here we go.
Time for a quick news brief on the flight line.
Okay, that wasn't it.
Yeah. I'm going to pretend it's it. And
okay.
I'm going to say. This is Cap Kaplowitz. I am the co-host of the First and 15th podcast with my good friend Phil Carute, which airs everywhere podcast things like that air, as well as, and mainly, really, let's not kid ourselves, flightlineradio.com. All good things and the First and 15th podcast come to an end.
At 100?
All good things and
all good things.
The First and 15th podcast come to an end. But you have us for almost 20 more episodes. And those 20-something more episodes are going to be more episodes. But all good things and the First and 15th podcast eventually must come to an end. And
so you're non-committal is what basically you're saying.
All good things. And the First and 15th podcast with myself, Cap Kaplowitz of Kaplowitz Media, www.kaplowitz.xyz, and my co-host, of course, Phil Carute. You can find him at ComedyCigarsMusic.com. must come to an end. And we have been saying it repeatedly now that 100 episodes is going to be it. And I am nothing if not a man of my word. But still, it's two shows a month, the 1st and the 15th, the title.
Yeah.
You still have us for some time, but 100 will almost assuredly be the final episode of the 1st and 15th.
That's too bad.
Gone just on time. You often hear, oh, that guy's gone too soon. Kinky Friedman just passed away at the age of 79. Gone too soon. Everybody's gone too soon. 1st and 15th, gone right on time.
Well, sad news at the end of All About Wine tonight. The 1st and 15th follows All About Wine on Flightline Radio every
Saturday.
Mike is on the air from 10 to noon, then All About Wine is on at noon, and following that is 1st and 15th, and you just heard it here. You only have about 18 or 19 episodes to go, and that will be coming to an end.
So hop on a bandwagon, and then there'll be a huge, enormous 100-episode backlog for you to catch up on. There's plenty of shtick. It's a fun show. It's fun to do. I have no complaints, but Phil and I agreed it's time to limit the fun because you don't want to have too much fun in this life.
If
so,
you get a write-in campaign saying we want more, will that drive you to doing more?
If I get too many complaints about ending it at 100, I will end it at 90.
Ooh. Wow.
Wow.
I don't. I'm firm but fair. And you can write in all you want. You can send courier pigeons. I sit at the park. I mentioned I'm sitting at the park. I want to feed pigeons because I want to feed pigeons on a park bench. And the crows come and they bully the pigeons away. And they caw and they yell and they're smarter than me and they're scary. And then once I saw a freaking raven, what the hell do I feed a raven? I'm there with a bag of bird seed. Like, what do I have to throw a frozen chicken carcass at this raven? What is
the
raven even there for?
Where just to quote.
The raven no more.
Never more. This isn't a literary program, I could tell. No, 100, I don't want to get caught up on this, but 100, still 20-something or something 20-ish episodes left. But
actually, only about
focus on that.
19 or 20.
Did you just correct me? I said 20-ish, and you said actually about 20? I'm sorry, I was wrong, Ron.
I said 19 or 20. If you've done 81.
I'm not a numbers guy. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I'm not a numbers guy. I'm a big picture. I'm an idea guy. Okay. So not a numbers guy, but there's still plenty left, but let's not overshadow. Let's not bury the lead. Heck of a show. Young Kim. Very interesting stuff. Thank you for having me here. I got to travel in my mind, and I went to South Korea. I sat with her on her deck, and I watched the sun go down. She was smoking a cigar, drinking wine. I was smoking a cigar, drinking wine. Somehow the freaking crows were there, still bothering me, but that's fine. That's fine. But I traveled in my mind, and that means I don't have to travel anywhere except from Trader Joe's in about 15 minutes. And that was awful.
Well,
nice. I appreciate you guys having me partake in that.
John, get you guys on the show again sometime and have a full hour of y'all on here. So
yeah, all the cigar guys.
Mike likes having me and my guys, the guys on.
Yep.
Too much.
Sure.
No.
He likes it. He likes it. Mike, you like it a dangerous amount. Because eventually we're going to say something that you're not going to like, and you're going to hate the guts out of it. And you're going to have to delete all these programs that we were on and pretend it never happened. You're going to have to go into a hot shower and cry it out amongst yourself alone. And you're going to hate me, and you're going to hate the guys. We're best. I'm best. I want to speak for anybody else. I'm best in small doses, and I realize that. So we'll be on soon. But not a lot, and not very soon.
Well, maybe it is spread out. It's spread out a lot more than we realize.
Maybe you should have a 1st and 15th All About Wine crossover show on FlightLineRadio.com.
Wow, getting them all in there.
I'm just saying.
Wow.
Well, basically... we do, because every Saturday morning, Mike is on live from 10 to noon, and then you have All About Wine, and then it segues into 1st and 15th. So there's your idea right there.
And you're also,
maybe I wasn't
you're also
clear
on,
with my idea. Maybe I wasn't clear with my idea. Me idea. Now I'm a pirate. I'm sorry. You see, you have me too long, I turn into a pirate. This is what's wrong. But, I mean, have Bill Carruth, Cap Kaplowitz, myself, and Ron, whatever your last name is, I don't pay attention. Schwartz? Is it Ron Schwartz? You should have All About Wine and 1st and 15th on together on a crossover show.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Interesting.
You see, that might be interesting.
That would be fantastically disinteresting, but Mike will like it.
Maybe we could do an episode. 101. There you go, Mike. I was thinking the same thing.
You know what? I can't talk for Phil, but that's a decent idea. 101.
Episode 101.
You're also on Wednesday. I forgot to mention Wednesdays, 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You have 1st and 15th. So it's kind of like for the morning people and for the evening people as well. So, we got you covered. I even got a promo. I even got a promo for you guys on here somewhere. Hold on a second. Check this out. I don't know if you've heard this or not, but check this.
Tune in to the 1st and 15th podcast with Cap and Phil on Flightline Radio.
I had that professionally done. Now I got to get my money back.
that I mentioned first. I appreciate that because that's how it should be. But I just had a certain individual walk into my office, and that certain individual is staring at me, and I think
you
need to go to Trader Joe's.
Yes.
Yeah.
So thanks again for having me on.
You're welcome, Cap. Thank you.
Okay. You talked right over me, Ron.
I know. I've learned from you.
Please. www.kaplowitz.xyz. You can find my writings there, my cigar musings and reviews. And you can find links to the 1st and 15th podcast, which we've been talking about. And
Are you done? Can I talk now?
I don't know. Am I done?
You're done. We can cut you off any time. You realize that. So, all right.
But you
Cap,
don't
thanks for coming
like
and joining us tonight. And,
you're welcome.
See, he talks over me all the time. Thanks for joining us tonight. And I'll be talking to you next week then, I guess.
Yeah, I guess I'll talk to you Wednesday on the show, the private thing we have going.
Yeah.
We can't talk about the secret society.
That's right. Go to Trader Joe's before
I
you
will.
Get...
Don't tell me what to do, though, but I will. I planned on doing it before you said that, but I really have to get going.
Whoever's standing behind you is telling you.
And big thanks to Young Kim once again.
Yes, definitely. Young Kim was enjoyable.
All right. I'm going to go, guys. Thank you.
Yep.
Talk to you
Bye.
Soon.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. Have a good one. Thank you. Bye.
All right. And
that's it.
That was Cap. He was good tonight. In fact, he had a couple of very, very good questions that
he did.
Give him credit for. Yeah. Very good questions.
Went very well.
Yep.
So, I'm sure we're
and
still caught
up. Young Kim was very enjoyable. I was amazed at the number of North American native grapes that they are working with over there in Korea. That just blows my mind. I'm looking forward to being able to read that book and finding more about it. So, but get a chance to join her at Wine Queen Korea. And then Cap said his tag many times, so you should have that by now.
We will continue moving.
Well, that's it. I think we're done for. I think we're done for another week. No, we're done for another 2 weeks. Next week is 4th of July, which we celebrate here in this country. So if you're listening to us in any other country, we are doing our Independence Day celebration next week. And we set off all sorts of fireworks and stuff, probably from Korea. And so we won't have a show next week, but we will in 2 weeks. In fact, in 2 weeks we have a guest, and I can let you know who that guest is real fast here. Well, I was going to tell you a couple of other things that's coming up here too, as far as holidays and stuff. I've only got like 2 minutes to tell you all this stuff because our time's running out.
It's almost done.
Yeah. Let's see. Tomorrow's Rosé Day, I think, maybe. This is Prosecco Week still going on right now. First week of July is Sparkling Wine Week. And American Sparkling Wine Day is July the 3rd. And I don't know if that's always the 3rd or if that rotates or whatever. But those are the things coming up there. Independence Day on the 4th. And then on the 11th, we have Jeannie from Green Meadow Wine Winners of 2024. All these different things that we've talked about. They got the winners for them. They'll tell us what they involve and all that. So Jeannie will be on in 2 weeks. And then next week, if you are in the States, happy 4th and a safe 4th, because don't blow off a finger or something.
Right.
And there we go.
Happy 4th of July. And have a great weekend, great week ahead, and we'll see you in 2 weeks. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next time on All About Wine.
Thanks for listening. Be safe.
Thank you.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron. For show information, links to All About Wine on Twitter and Facebook, or to be a guest on this show, visit the show website at www.allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available for download on iTunes or on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. Drink responsibly, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine.
And turn off everything and go to the green room.
Plus 82, 10. No.
Are we cut off? I think the show's over. Cut us off.